are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the second to last preseason game against the Indiana Pacers on Tuesday evening of this week. The Wolves won their second preseason game. We're going to talk through the takeaways from that particular tilt and what we can look ahead to in the final preseason game on Thursday night against the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. So we'll take a cruise through that box score, talk about the big observations from the game, and then ultimately whether or not, again, we've been doing this throughout the preseason, if we've actually learned anything from the preseason game itself, and basically by that, whether it be the team's playing style or perhaps do we have a clue as to what the end of the roster is going to look like when the Wolves break preseason here in the next few days, as we're now 6 days away from the opener on the Wednesday the 23rd in Brooklyn. So we'll talk a little bit about that and what those takeaways might be following this game. So we'll get right into it, actually. That's the big news this week, I guess, is just preseason play in general. And specifically in this game, it's how well Karl-Anthony Towns played. In this particular game, Towns still only played 26 minutes, which is a little more than I was expecting him to play, as we talked about on Lockdown Wolves the other day. But he managed 33 points in that 26 minutes. Not quite the 40 points in, 25 minutes that Steph Curry put up about a week ago against the Wolves, but 33 points on 20 shots in 26 minutes. The Wolves will take it. Towns also had 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, and he made 4 of his 8 three-point attempts in this game. The Wolves, it is interesting the way that Ryan Saunders chose to rotate his players in this one. So bear with me as we recap, I guess, the fifth starting role and what that rotation on the wing has looked like so far in the preseason. But in the first game against the Suns just over a week ago, Jake Lehman started that game. Travion Graham, Jarrett Culver, Josh Okogie all came off the bench. In games 2 and 3 against Golden State and Maccabi Haifa earlier this week, the Wolves started Travion Graham. Lehman came off the bench. For the most part, the rotations were fairly consistent with what you'd expect, although Tyrone Wallace didn't play the other day. Gorgui Dieng didn't play in one of the games. It was a little bit different than maybe what the regular season rotation might look like. Against the Pacers this week, Lehman started. After not starting since the first game, played 25 minutes, which is the most he's played by far over the past few games. And Travion Graham came off the bench, only saw 2 minutes of play in this particular game. So a little bit of a surprise there, given how heavily he'd been used, and the team's been talking really highly of him. And perhaps it was more just a, let's see how Lehman runs with the ones type of a situation. I'm not a big in-game single game plus minus guy because I think there's far too much noise to really, unless it's a really glaring number. And if taken in context, from somebody, if you've actually watched the game in question and can tell whether or not, yeah, this plus minus seems legit, this guy was everywhere, or this guy was, had a terrible night. The Wolves starters all played between 25 and 28 minutes and all had negative plus minuses except for Jake Lehman in 25 minutes, which was the least of the five players. He had a plus 10. He had 10 points, shot just 3 of 7 from the floor, made 2 of his 6 three-point attempts, 2 of 4 free throws, had 3 rebounds and 3 assists, had a solid game and made his case for being a sometimes starter. So a little bit interesting there. Okogie and Culver played 20 minutes, not a surprise. That's a little bit lower than what they've been seeing for the most part. As the Wolves are probably trying to get them a little bit of rest before the season starts. Culver, again, had a big game, had a high usage, 14 shot attempts in 20 minutes, and scored 15 points, making 7 of his 14 shots, 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. But in continuing the trend of taking care of the ball a little bit better, he did have 2 turnovers but had 3 assists, 4 rebounds and a steal, and had the opportunity to, again, initiate the offense a little bit off the bench, playing alongside Shabazz Napier for most of his minutes. But definitely training in the right direction there for Mr. Culver and for the Timberwolves as a whole. We're going to talk a little bit more about some takeaways from the game, and then again talk again about the end of the roster, because I do think that's the most interesting thing. It's been a while since the Wolves have really had question marks at the end of their roster heading into the season, and in a good way because of the depth that we've talked about, you know, pretty much at length here at Locked On Wolves. So we're going to get into that here in just a moment. But first, I did want to mention that Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. That's $30 off a total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you enter Locked On at checkout. Okay, a couple more notes on the game. I haven't mentioned Robert Covington yet. I think it's important to point out that he played 28 minutes. As mentioned, all the starters played 28 or fewer. He pulled down 19 rebounds in just 28 minutes, perhaps trying to prove the point that he can play and hold down the four spot. Him and Lehman both can play the four in smaller lineups for the Wolves, and they were both in the starting lineup. But 19 rebounds for Robert Covington would imagine that would be a career high. I confess I didn't look that up, but I can't imagine him getting anywhere near that consistently. He also had 3 blocks and 3 assists, 10 points, shot 4 of 10 from the field, and 2 of 5 from beyond the arc. Covington's going to be a huge part of this team. We've talked about that at length here, Covington is going to be the team's best defender. He was in the running for Defensive Player of the Year just prior to the midway point in the season when he got hurt last season. But assuming he hasn't lost much lateral quickness and it's too early to really tell, Covington could be another season with him as a Defensive Player of the Year candidate if he's able to stay healthy. He's clearly the Wolves' second best player and can serve as a mentor of sorts to Jarrett Culver and Josh Okogie. All three of those guys are going to have crazy defensive intensity, and Covington's know-how, and also, you know, he brings something to the table on offense that we know Okogie doesn't quite bring to the table, and, you know, Culver shooting threes is not going to be a strong suit. So Covington provides that defensive edge and also that floor stretching that the Wolves don't really have. Nobody else on the team has that amount of two-way ability. If Jake Lehman improves his shot from three and continues to improve on defense, you know, he could have some similar impact. But really, Rocco is the guy they're going to lean on for lockdown defense and also stretching the floor on offense. So great to see him, you know, appearing to be healthy, at least being able to play 28 minutes in a preseason game and pull down 19 rebounds against the Indiana Pacers. So that, something else to continue to keep an eye on as we move forward. But that would be the expectation, is that he has every opportunity to hold down the stretch for, you know, starting power forward role as we get into the season. Also notable, I don't know if any local Minnesota listeners listening to this podcast, if anybody picked up a copy of or read a digital version of the Star Tribune newspaper, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Chris Hine, who's the Timberwolves beat writer there, had an interesting piece regarding the Wolves offense where he interviewed some of the players and was asking them about the Wolves offense now compared to in past years and other offenses players have played in. Jeff Teague compared it a little bit to the offenses he played with in Atlanta, where he spent the majority, I think the first 6 or 7 years of his career, but said that it's even more of a pickup style of basketball where the Wolves are essentially calling sets but not specific plays. And the advantage there is the opposing team doesn't know where you're going with the ball. Shabazz Napier also contributed with a couple of quotes in the article and talked about how the Wolves definitely have a bunch of plays, but it's, again, it's more of initiating sets instead of saying, hey, we're going to throw the ball to Cat in the post and everybody knows it and can key up for it, you know, as you're running down the court or walking the ball down the court, as the Wolves often did under Tom Thibodeau. The Wolves are going to be playing a lot faster, have different reads, understand, you know, Napier's going to know where Covington wants the ball on the perimeter to shoot a three. He's going to know when Lehman likes to make his backdoor cuts, and all that's going to get coordinated, you know, early on in the season. And that's why it's important to see some of these preseason minutes to work both Lehman, Travion Graham into, and Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver in through the lineup along with the main four starters, so that they're all getting comfortable with one another heading into the season and understanding each other's tendencies and everything along those lines. So interesting, certainly, to see the players' perspective on the offense and what they feel like it's going to look like this season. clearly it's going to be night and day, as we've said before, from the Tom Thibodeau offense, which was much slower in the past with the Wolves. This is going to be much faster, and it's going to be and I think it was Napier in the article who said the more possessions you get in a game, the better chance you have to win, which is essentially true. And the Wolves were not towards the top of the league in possessions on offense under Tom Thibodeau. And now under Saunders and with the Gerson Rosas regime, the Wolves are going to play faster. They're going to shoot more threes. They're going to shoot good threes. I think that this offense is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think that the one thing to look out for is the ability of the three-point shooters on the team. Outside of Covington and Towns, there's nobody that's a proven above average, above league average three-point shooter. Napier, perhaps. Graham did it a couple years ago with Charlotte, but struggled last year when he was able to get on the court with Brooklyn. But you go down the list, and it's average or worse three-point shooters. Andrew Wiggins, Jeff Teague, if he's able to pull the trigger. Noah Vonleh is okay, but pretty average from out there. Josh Okogie is far below average. Jarrett Culver likely will be. Nobody that's going to shoot a ton of threes that's awful, except for maybe Josh Okogie, who shot like under 29% last season from three. But nobody that's going to, other than Covington or Towns, that's going to necessarily get hot and carry a team for a series of games. So we'll keep an eye on that. One last note from the game specifically against the Pacers. Jordan Bell did make his Timberwolves debut. He played 7 minutes and had 4 points and five rebounds after missing the first three games with a calf strain. So good to see that. Bates-Diop didn't see the court for the second straight game. Two-way player Jordan McLaughlin did not see the court. Tyrone Wallace did not see the court. He played quite a bit the other night, but has had a couple of DNP CDs this preseason. And then Tyus Battle and Barry Brown Jr., who are both added on Exhibit 10 contracts this week, also did not see the court for the Wolves. So we'll see what happens on Thursday. My guess would be that the starters play the first quarter and just, get another opportunity to play together. Perhaps they play some more minutes with Travion Graham, who didn't see the court much in this game. But then I would guess that they're not going to play a full 26, 28 minutes. Certainly not more than that in this game. I would think the Wolves want to give them a little bit of rest in their final tune-up before things get real here next week in Brooklyn, next Wednesday. So coming up, we're going to talk again about the end of the roster battle and what that's going to look like. So we're going to get right into that. All right. By the time our next Locked On Wolves podcast is published, we probably will know who makes the Wolves roster and who will be likely at least one player will be released or cut from the team entirely and not just sent to Iowa. And then we'll have a handful of players that will no doubt be assigned to play in Iowa with the Iowa Wolves of the G League to start the season. We spent a little bit of time on this podcast talking about the best candidates for the final roster spot. It's really hard to say whether or not there's anything to read into Tyrone Wallace not playing at all in two of the four preseason games so far. He looked good when he played. Then again, so did Jordan McLaughlin, the two-way point guard who is going to be on the squad or at least under contract and will start the year with the Iowa Wolves. If the Wolves feel really comfortable with McLaughlin as a third point guard stashed in Iowa, Culver and Wiggins could play the point guard in a pinch if there were to be an in-game injury to Napier or Jeff Teague. But if the Wolves like McLaughlin, for 20, 25 games in a season on his two-way deal, he can't play much more than that. Then perhaps they're more comfortable letting Tyrone Wallace go. I had said previously that Kata Bates-Diop is my kind of, I don't know if dark horse is the right way to put it. I think the odds on favorite right now to be released probably is Wallace, just in terms of the dead money on his contract being less than anyone else. And again, it's unlikely the Wolves get rid of a rookie like Naz Reid or Jalen Noel, who they just gave guaranteed money to. But I think Bates-Diop, the Wolves won't want to lose him for nothing. My hunch is that they're trying to trade him or would entertain some offers to get something in return for him. They don't want to have any dead money, but clearly they knew it was a possibility when they brought in 16 guys on guaranteed deals. So the battle's probably between Wallace and Bates-Diop for the final roster spot. The hunch, again, is that Bates-Diop, they're going to try and trade. If they're unable to do so, I'm betting that they release Tyrone Wallace and figure that McLaughlin's kind of the third-string point guard that can come up, for a couple of games at a time if there's a nagging injury to one of the top two guys, and that in an individual game, they could give minutes at the point to somebody like Jarrett Culver or Andrew Wiggins, who can initiate the offense with the second unit. So that's kind of my thinking here with how this is going to play out. We'll know pretty soon, and perhaps we'll have an idea immediately following the Bucks game on Thursday evening. But certainly, you know, we'll know over the weekend as we head into real play next week. One more note today that I wanted to talk through. Sam Vecenie of The Athletic is doing rookie scale rankings. He has the Timberwolves ranked at number 20, and essentially what this means is he's ranking the young players on the Wolves roster and is ranking the teams based on that. It's not just rookies, but he ranked 10 players on the Wolves, and as a team, based on young players, he has them 20th. Jarrett Culver's obviously number one player listed here as of the number 6 overall pick, and seen as somebody with an extremely high ceiling. So there's an interesting breakdown of that. I'm not going to read his breakdown, but be sure to check that out. It's a really good read. He's got some clips in there of why he thinks Culver is such a great prospect. And he seems, essentially his analysis boils down to if Culver is able to shoot, you know, above average from three, something close to 40%, he'll be a borderline all-star. His ceiling is likely even higher than that. Jim Peterson on the Timberwolves broadcast on Fox Sports North the other day during the Maccabi Haifa game was saying that he feels like Culver's ceiling is a Paul George type player who can initiate the offense, be a good spot up shooter, also get to the rim and be a lockdown defender and guard multiple positions. And he thought more of his kind of average comp could be Sean Elliott, who of course hasn't played in the league in 15, 20 years, but you know, also a very nice player who played some key roles on some really good Spurs teams. Vecenie also has Josh Okogie listed as the second young player, in this ranking for him, and talks, of course, about his offensive issues, but his defense being exciting and really good, and what kept him, you know, basically made him a positive player last year. Naz Reid he has listed number 3, basically saying that. And says that he thinks that Reid was a steal for the Wolves as an undrafted player. Vecenie had Reid listed as number 34 on his big board, and he ended up being undrafted. So a really interesting breakdown there, talking about Reid's ability to space the floor and, you know, if he can stick in the league with moderate, at best, athleticism, which is the biggest issue. He also talks to Jalen Noel, who has ranked number 4th, and then Kata Bates-Diop at number 5, Tyus Battle number 6, and Jordan McLaughlin number 7. So Battle's interesting that he has him at 6, as he's on an Exhibit 10 deal. He has Barry Brown Jr. at number 8, Lindell Wigginton at number 9, and then Jordan Murphy at number 10. And basically says that he doesn't think that Murphy's going to stick in the league unless he can figure out his shot and become a little bit of a better perimeter defender. But all that to say, it's a pretty good group of 10 players that the Wolves have. Clearly, as mentioned previously on this podcast, Gerson Rosas in the front office is doing a really nice job of finding guys who, you know, churning the bottom of the roster to find a diamond in a rough, somebody who can surprise, somebody who has some upside that can fill out the roster, instead of simply finding a bunch of veterans to fill out the roster and find a good mix. Not that there was anything necessarily wrong with that part of Tom Thibodeau's approach of bringing in the Aaron Brookses and the Lowell Dangs of the world to fill out the roster, or even going back to Flip Saunders. He was actually playing most of these guys, but Andre Miller, Tayshaun Prince, obviously Kevin Garnett, was a little bit of a different story. But Rosas's philosophy is clearly bring in a bunch of these guys. One or two of them, you're going to hit on those guys. That's what the Rockets have done. It's the 76ers have done it. You're going to hit on one or two of them, and they're going to become a valuable rotation player, and perhaps on a really reasonable contract, be a big part of a playoff team. So I appreciate that effort, and I think they're headed in the right direction with that. And we'll see, again, how they end up at the end of the roster, who sticks and who is jettisoned, you know, to reduce the number of guaranteed deals here moving forward. That's all we have for you today here on the Lockdown Wolves podcast. The next time we come to you, we'll know who the Wolves roster is most likely, and we'll be gearing up for the first game of the season on Wednesday the 23rd against the Brooklyn Nets. Thanks again for listening to Lockdown Wolves podcast. Of course, we're part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. And don't forget, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Lockdown Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.